health naturally. And it is great to have this bloke back with us for another year. And Dennis Stewart, we have to say it's official. This will be the final year of Health Naturally.
This will be the final year when I do this beautiful program and think of the beautiful people that I'll miss. But I'm going to enjoy this year, so get ready for it.
Mate, we'll do something for you in the last one. But for the first one today, Dennis, I know you're getting together your memoirs.
Yes,
and
lecture notes.
Yeah, so that's going to be a huge task. How far are you through it?
Look, I hope Danny in the Atherton is listening to me today and Bob listens to me in Melbourne. Danny and Bob, I'm nearly there. So the prefaces you are writing and the comments that you want to make, get ready for them because the book is nearly ready. It's very close.
All right. And in the middle of all of that, of course, which will be the topic today, you've fallen back in love with echinacea. So Dennis is ready with that. Health Naturally is the name of the game. Dennis, you ready for call one, episode one?
We are indeed. We are indeed.
G'day, Stephen from Raymond Terrace. Stephen, you have a diabetes-related question for Dennis today.
Yeah, I'm just been recently diagnosed with type 2, and I'm also in the medical field as well.
Yes.
And also a bit of hypertension and also some cholesterol.
Yes.
I really don't want to go down the pathway of metformins or even insulin, and I'm just wondering if there's some other better way to treating those conditions.
Well, Raymond, you would appreciate the fact that even with type 2, it depends upon what sort of what your HbA1c is and how your regular readings are. In the early stages of type 2, I think your doctor probably would have even told you this, that you can, with even moderate lifestyle changes, bring your condition back to a more acceptable level, where with dietary change and lifestyle change, the need for medication mightn't be as great. Certainly that was my experience with my problem years ago. So I don't know you well enough, but if you're not addressing the perspective from the point of view of look at what you're eating, well, then I think you're probably missing the point. And the best advice that I could give to you from an early point of management, which I'm sure your GP would agree with, is look at your weight, look at what you're eating. If you are overweight, bring it down through dietary change, see a dietitian. Move away from the carbohydrate addiction that we have throughout the Western world. Move more in the direction of proteinous foods. Move more in the direction of fibre. Fibre is more important than what people realise, even in the management of diabetes, let alone cholesterol. And I recommend to my clients who ask this question frequently and who are at the early stages of a diagnosis, I emphasise to them a product called Beta-Glucare, which is based on a particular form of oat bran available from your pharmacy, very inexpensive, and with a good explanation as to how it works against blood sugar spikes and even how it helps in the reduction of cholesterol. So if you are an early stage of it, the first thing I would suggest is look at your diet, get some advice, lose some weight, move from the carbohydrate addiction, move away from too much fruit, emphasise a lot of vegetables, emphasise good protein, see what that does. It certainly helped my condition years ago, and start to understand the importance of soluble fibre, and Beta-Glucare, one of the products that you can get from your pharmacy, is a good product to have as part of a management attempt to bring your blood sugar levels down a little bit lower. That will also help your cholesterol level. Are you on a statin or anything at this stage, Raymond?
It's Stephen, but...
Stephen, yep.
That's okay. He has put me on them, but it's just... I just don't want to go down that road, and I have actually... My HB was 10, and I... Sometimes my fasting's about 15 millimoles.
That's pretty elevated. And I would think in this situation it would be a little bit heroic to think that you could manage it without using some of the early medication. I know people raise their eyebrows at metformin, but metformin, in my opinion, is a good medication, is usually a starting base. It is not known by many people that, in fact, its chemistry is based on a herb. The name of the herb is goat's rue. And if you look at goat's rue, that's its common name, in the British Herbal Pharmacopoeia, you will find it is very, very strongly put forward as a herb that needs to be used cautiously if you are being managed for diabetes. So I wouldn't, if your HbA1c is as high as that, I think you have to consider what your GP is saying. Get onto metformin, but at the same time, take on board what I have said. Look at your lifestyle, look at your weight, get away from this addiction we've got to carbohydrates, restrict your eating more and more to good quality protein, a lot of vegetables, a lot of fiber, and that in turn will reflect itself to some degree both in your cholesterol and with your diabetes condition. Try that as a starting base, but don't balk at metformin. Generally speaking, it's well tolerated, and as I've said on this program before, it has a bit of a herbal background.
Best of luck with everything, Stephen. Dennis, you're killing me first week back, mate.
Okay.
No carbs. What are you doing to me? What are you doing over there? Good afternoon. Good afternoon, Karen from Clarencetown. There's a skin irritation that you'd like to bring for Dennis today.
Yes.
Hello,
hello,
Karen.
Hello, Dennis.
How are
you? Not too bad, thank you.
Good, good, good.
So my issue has been going on since last November.
Yes.
And it's usually comes around summertime. So it's been coming for a few years now.
Yes.
But this year has been the worst ever.
Okay.
And it sort of starts on my upper arm.
Yes.
And then it tends to just travel down the arm. At the moment, it's just gone past my elbow.
Yes.
To look at, you can't see anything other than it's quite red from me scratching so much.
Yes.
You can't actually see a rash, but you can feel it.
Okay.
I've tried lots of natural creams. Peppermint oil, believe it or not, is the only thing that gives me a bit of relief from scratching so much.
Yes.
And then I put ice cubes on it, and ice, like really making it cold, actually like freezes the itch away for some reason.
Yes.
But I get a little bit of benefit for 2 hours doing that through the night. So I'm usually up at 2, up again at 4, 4:30, up again at 6:30, doing the peppermint and the ice all through the night.
Does this come on only in the hot weather, Karen?
Yes, and the sun makes it worse.
Have you had it investigated?
No, I haven't actually.
Okay. Look, it would be worthwhile seeing a good GP. They're always our first line of defence. Let me just say that skin irritations can be difficult to manage, but it sounds to me as if there is some sort of fungal possibility going on here, which tends to be characteristic of this warm, humid weather. As far as a management technique to irritate or to overcome the itch condition, have you used products containing pine tar?
What is it?
Pine tarsal?
No, I haven't.
Look, I still consider, and I'm talking to GPs as well as yourself here, still consider pine tarsal, and well, that's the brand name of a product based on pine tar.
I've heard of it.
Look, the reputation for those preparations based on pine tar is so well established, and yet I'm still troubled that they are not prescribed particularly to manage some of the itch conditions which respond so magnificently to a topical application. These preparations do not need a script. Your situation seems to be capable of self-management because you're using that technique already. If you're getting a little bit of relief from peppermint, I would be, and I'll emphasise this, I will be the most surprised therapist if after you have purchased what I would recommend that you get is the pine tarsal lotion or gel. They're good preparations. They're inexpensive, available from your good pharmacies. Thank God for the pharmacists we have and the skills that they have. And they know these old preparations. I'm puzzled as to why some of the GPs, before they reach for a steroid, are not using some of this approach. I'll tell you a little secret, and I probably mentioned it before. It's not really a secret, but I got into this profession as a young man when I was a qualified engineer. I contracted very, very bad eczema. Now, anyone who's had eczema realises the irritation and the itch that comes from that. Now, I can remember on numerous occasions getting up at night, getting a bath going and pouring pine tarsal into the bath and soaking in it. And look, It was heaven on earth. It allowed me very frequently to get through the night, to get up in the morning, to get on the train at Gosford and commute to Sydney to practice as an engineer. That was a lifesaver to me. There were other things I did to manage my eczema, which caused me then in turn to get into this profession. But I owe a lot to Pinetarsal, not just for your itch, but for any people that have itches generally. I'd say a lot of elderly people who have varicose eczema, who are itching all the time. And they, some of them don't realise that if you itch badly enough, you can break the skin. Elderly people have fragile skin.
Yeah.
You can break the skin. You can get an infection. You can get an ulcer. And then you are in for a real joyride.
In trouble. Yeah.
Before you do anything else, go down, see your pharmacist. You can tell him you've spoken to me. Give him my regards. But get some Pinetarsal.
So a cream or a...
Well, I think I actually like the gel. I like the gel. But years ago, I used to get the lotion and pour it in a bath. But not everyone has a bath these days. The gel is very acceptable. And you can also buy a bar of soap based on pine tar. You get on that and get back and tell me down the track how you've gone.
Michael, just as you have done, thank you so much for your patience. You also have a diabetes question for Dennis. Michael, what's going on?
Well, I just wanted to firstly compliment Dennis on his very thorough approach to that previous patient on diabetes management. Metformin, I'm a retired anaesthetist, but pharmacology's always been my passion. And I've read older textbooks and they often refer to natural products.
Yes.
But metformin is particularly topical at the moment because they're doing studies where they're putting everyone on it at the Albert Einstein University in New York because they find that it suppresses insulin levels, which is a promoter of cancer, and that, and even more recently, there are some cell culture studies which suggest that metformin somehow slows the aging process.
I think I read that,
So I don't want to sort of sound like an eccentric, but
no.
There are some interesting effects from metformin. I didn't know anything about how it was derived, or I know it has something to do with formic acid or something as well. But it seems to have some pretty global beneficial effects. And I had a fasting blood sugar; it was fine, but the insulin level was slightly elevated. And I twisted my GP's arm at the time and said, I want to take metformin and get that insulin level down.
Yes.
And he said, I think that's not a bad idea. You take medicines to drop your blood pressure.
Yeah.
And it's pretty innocuous.
Yeah. Look, I totally agree with you. And that's why I have, on even on this program, encouraged some listeners who have reservations about it to get rid of those reservations.
Yeah.
It's a good drug. I know the basis of its chemistry is derived from a European herb known as goat's rue, which in the British Herbal Pharmacopoeia of 1983, if you can Google it, you'll see what I mean,
is
in fact so confidently recommended that caution is mentioned in the reference in the pharmacopoeia to using it indiscreetly, put it that way. It's a very, very good medication. The other thing that I would like to see, medical profession, some of the more innovative ones, again, this is based on very, very good clinical evidence, is the remedy known as Gymnema. Gymnema sylvestra is popularly used throughout Asia. And it has a very, very good reputation. In fact, two women, I think, who were connected with this university wrote a book which I used in my lecturing, I think, which is called Traditional Herbal Medicine. Very good book. And in that text, Gymnema is given a glowing recommendation. So I think I'm glad you've rang in because I know some listeners think I'm you're betraying the camp, so to speak, when I mention metformin. But anyone that knows me knows that I use pharmaceuticals myself, but I use natural drugs wherever possible. So yeah. I appreciated you ringing in, Michael. I really did. And thank you so much.
Very interesting program always.
Thank you so much, Michael.
Yes, good on you. Thanks, Michael. 49216216. You can catch up with Dennis Stewart. A little bit of time left for you. But, Dennis, let's just move on into your topic today, echinacea. This will be a double up, that's for sure. Now, take us through some of the history of said echinacea.
Okay. Look, one could talk all day about this, and we haven't got that time.
You've got 10 minutes.
if there is one herb which is the epitome of Western herbalism, it is the herb echinacea in its various varieties, Echinacea angustifolia, Echinacea purpurea, or Echinacea pallida. They're North American herbs, well-defined in the modern herbal literature that I mentioned here. They are the backbone of a herbalist's attempt, and increasingly, if you're in Europe, it would be prescribed by some medical practitioners. Basically, to treat conditions which are recurring, stubborn, and which have hitherto frequently been dependent on antibiotic medication.
How long has it been in the zeitgeist, forever?
It was started to be used in the US in the middle of the 19th century because, like so many of our herbs, they are based very much on the history of herbal medicine from the US. That is why in my consulting room I have some beautiful photographs of American Red Indians. We owe so much to them. Our Western system, believe it or not, is more dependent on herbs from North America than what they are from Europe. And I use a lot of European herbs. Mm. So it crept in there. It was poo-hooed by the medical establishment for years in the US. It came back into popularity probably as a result of the herbal renaissance in this country, of which I was part, in the early 70s, although British herbalists, unlike American herbalists who were forbidden to practice in the US, the land of the free, British herbalists practiced under common law. Thank God for the Crown, and that's why I'm a great supporter of the monarchy. But they used echinacea when their American brothers were not allowed to, and they developed the reputation which we carried on with in this country. And Australia has led the world now, I would argue, in its knowledge of echinacea, its production of echinacea products. And I had the privilege of working with Professor Clifton Elliott from this university, who was the Emeritus Professor of Physics. Mm. When he retired, he and his dear wife, Nairi, beautiful New Zealand people, and New Zealanders are unique in their ability to grow things, by the way, he retreated to the Central Coast, sought me out, and undertook a three-year program in what we used to call the Diploma of Herbal Medicine, qualified, proud to be a herbalist, became patron of the Herbalist Association, and he and I grew one of the first crops of Echinacea purpurea on his acreage in Peach Orchard Road, Arimba, and we had an American come out from a well-known American company, and I was asked to take him and show him echinacea growing. Mm. When we came through the Arimba area where he lived along Peach Orchard Road, it opened up to Cliff's farm, which was in full blossom. The American guy nearly broke into tears. He said, I want this. Where can I get it? We only had 5 acres of it. They wanted hundreds of acres. But then we went on. Interestingly, I was then part of a company that was based in Toowoomba, Greenridge Botanicals, and they asked me to come on board as a consultant, and we developed a whole range of products based on a vast acreage of Echinacea purpurea that was grown on the black soil by a lovely man from Toowoomba, and they made a range of Echinacea products which were some of the first to be on the retail level and to be used sensibly to treat the conditions for which Echinacea is used, particularly in breaking through quickly an episode of a cold, a serious cold, or influenza. Echinacea taken at the beginning of it will short-circuit the development of that. That's its fame. Outside of that, it's remarkable. I know I get a bit wound up in this, but it is remarkable for addressing slow-healing wounds, particularly on the extremities, that have become ulcerous, that are unresponsive to medical treatment, the prescribing of echinacea with appropriate medical treatment could frequently save a leg.
No time to muck around. We're going to get Dennis right back to work straight away with Health Naturally. Good afternoon, Gordon from Spears Point. Again, another diabetes question. What's going on, Gordon?
Good afternoon, Dennis.
Hello, Gordon.
I've seen you a few times at your surgery.
Good on you.
With diabetes,
yes.
I started off in 2009.
Yes.
And I was on diformin.
Oh, yes.
And I preferred diformin to metformin.
Yes.
But I couldn't get it all the time because okay. Queensland or Brisbane, wherever I come from, they weren't producing as much.
Oh, okay.
So I went on the metformin.
Yep.
At the present moment, yep. The last 12 months, my diabetes 2 has disappeared.
Isn't that great? Isn't that great? Well, that supports what we've been saying today, that this good drug, let me emphasise, this good drug with a herbal background is very acceptable, is a first line of assault, particularly on type 2, and prescribed by a good doctor that monitor it, your experience can be typical of what many can experience, particularly if they are an early type 2 patient being monitored by their good doctor, and also, as I've said, looking at some of the complementary stuff of dietary modification, perhaps, plenty of fibre in the diet, getting away from this carbohydrate addiction that is frequently behind it.
Oh, you're killing me again, Dennis.
There you go.
Stop
there
it.
You've conquered it, right, Gordon? So you've got a good GP.
Mate, I stopped eating what I should have.
Yeah.
And what I got onto, I'd lost about nearly 12 kilos.
Yeah, how about that?
And I was only 86. I was only 86 to start with.
Yeah.
Don't worry about it, Gordon. You might have lost them, but I think I found them. Good.
Well, congratulations, mate. That's
okay.
And I appreciate you ringing in because, as I've said, some people out there raise their eyebrows when I swing out in defence of this medication, but it is damn good stuff.
All right, best of luck with everything. Well, actually, you know, Gordon's already, he's okay now. Good afternoon to Neil from Taralba. Neil, your question is on, of all things, Valentine's Day, which is today, of course.
That's correct. Dennis, are you still keeping bees?
Yes. Go on.
People will say, what's this idiot going on about? Happy Valentine's Day.
Okay.
Reason I say that, yes. Valentine, apart from being the patron saint of lovers, is also the patron saint of beekeepers.
Well, how about that?
So today for all the apiarists out there.
Well, now, I'll have to tell my son-in-law, who manages our bees these days, to be go out and give them a little pat on the head and congratulate them for producing what has already been recognised as some of the best honey.
While on the honey theme, and you were just saying about the skin ulcers that won't heal at the echinacea. In the last few months, I listened to a bit of talkback, and it's come up a couple of times. One young bloke, maybe about 40 or something like that, went for nearly 12 months with an ulcer that would not respond to pharmaceuticals. Applied on his own back, away from his doctor, a high GMO Manuka. And now I've heard this story from two different people, or two different instances.
Yeah.
Within 3 weeks, that ulcer's gone.
I can vouch for that. Before honey became popular, I was already promoting its use and had developed an ointment which was registered with the Therapeutic Goods Association, known as Melderma. And it was based on an ointment that the Russians used during the Second World War to treat serious battle wounds that were infected and not healing. I got hold of that formula from the communist bookshop in Pitt Street, believe it or not. When as a young man, I used to walk up and down Pitt Street in my lunchtime, going from bookshop to bookshop. I developed that Melderma honey ointment, which I still prescribe. I have seen, believe it or not, I have seen some of the most gross ulcers, particularly varicose ulcers, that you are likely to see. And I have seen those ulcers retreat miraculously, and I hate to use that word miraculous because there is a credible scientific explanation as to how honey and the Melderma ointment the Melderma ointment incorporates honey, and another favourite that's fallen out of popularity but was well known years ago, and that is cod liver oil. Those two things, wish to God they were more popularly used in mainstream medicine, albeit some of the greatest offenders of honey-based preparations have been medical practitioners. One of them was a brilliant missionary to Africa who developed a great reputation for honey, particularly on African lesions where there was nothing else available. No mystery, but let me just say, my honey ointment didn't depend on Manuka. It depended on good quality Australian honey, raw Australian honey. It's not, in my opinion, it's not the Manuka content. It's the complex chemistry of honey wherever it's made.
All right, best of luck, and thanks for that for us, Neil. And Dennis, I know we've spoken about it here and, of course, off air before. I still cannot reconcile the Dennis that I talked to the gentleman that just casually perusing through the communist bookshop, comrade. I find it hard to...
Well, it put it this way. In those days, I think it's fair to say that I was a bit to the left. And there's probably a photograph of me protesting outside of the town hall at the height of the Vietnam War. I still argue that protesting then was legitimate, and I support my radicalism in those days. But my radicalism has been tempered to a degree. I'm still radical, but I'm radical in another way. That's why I support King Charles and, prior to that, the good Queen Elizabeth, and argue with all listeners, for God's sake, hang on to them, because there's nothing out there that can compete against them.
I suppose you could always argue the polar shift of left and right in values of policy. Look, we'll come back with a couple more callers wrapping up with Dennis, and just remember, you brought the photo up today, not me. And I know, Dennis, you started the topic of echinacea. Obviously, it's going to be too hot to handle for a whole one day, so you'll be back with more of that next week.
Absolutely.
In the meanwhile, Ken, you may be our last caller today from Lochinvar. Ken, what's going on?
Dennis, polymyagatha, is it?
Polymyalgia rheumatica?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I've had it for about 12 weeks.
Yes.
And I've been virtually completely immobilised.
Yes.
And my GP put me on steroids back here about a fortnight or 3 weeks ago.
That's the standard management.
And I'm up and walking.
Good.
But the muscles are still, particularly around my groin and back area, are still quite sore. Yes. Is there any...
Look, what your GP has done there is the first line of medical treatment. It's the right treatment, in my opinion. Polymyalgia rheumatica is not an easy condition to treat, even medically, hence the benefit of using the steroid, albeit your GP would be quite keen to get you down to a lower dose. What MG dose are you taking presently, Ken?
I'm on 15 milligrams.
Okay.
And I'm also under a specialist in Newcastle.
Yes, okay.
And she's very, very good, you know.
That's great. Well, you're getting good management. And if you're doing all right on 15 mg of polymyalgia, I suspect what your medical managers will be keen to do is to let you come down gradually, down to about, hopefully down to about 5 mg, where if you get to that level, that's a bit of a comfort zone. But the condition can burn itself out before you have to start working with some of the stronger medications. So if you're doing well with that, my only suggestion would be, and this would not conflict, I wouldn't think, with what your good medicos are trying to do for you. There is a herb that is not well known but made popular by the Germans when they were in Southwest Africa, and hence they took that herb back to Europe, and is known as Devil's Claw. Now, that's a weird name, I know, but if you saw the crude herb, you'd understand that it's got a devil's claw appearance. Now, that has helped a lot of patients with various forms of myalgia, and it's not expensive. It's a very safe herb. You would need, I think it would be the ethical thing to do, to mention it to your GP, and you can mention that we've discussed it. The only other thing I would suggest is that there are a bracket of remedies that actually caused Blackmores to be established many years ago, when Maurice Blackmore, a brilliant therapist, developed a range of minerals known as celloids, C-E-L-L-O-I-D-S. Now, three of those celloids, if you have a pencil, just jot them down, are sodium phosphate.
Sodium phosphate, yes. Yeah.
Silica.
Silica.
And magnesium phosphate. Now, they are in celloid form, and you could get those from Bowen's Clinic in Cessnock. They stock them. They are they are harmless. They are beautiful remedies to use in conjunction with mainstream medicine. I think if you were to discuss that option with your medicos, seeing it won't clash with what they're doing, you might be on a winner.
All right, best of luck with everything, Ken, from Lochinvar. Dennis, we can put a full stop at the end of episode number one for 2025.
How about it? You did it very well, Mark, as I would expect you to do.
Well, as you would have probably noticed, can I give a secret away for you? When I have got no hope of pronouncing the question, the topic, I just introduce the person where they're from.
Oh, how about that?
Diabetes, hey, no problem, but I just say it's all yours, Dennis. Mate, you have a good week. We'll catch you in a week.
Thank you very much, Mark.
Thanks for listening to this podcast from 2NURFM at the University of Newcastle. You'll find them all at 2NURFM.com.